In the late 1990s, when Alima was 10 years old, her family fled their middle-class life in the Afghan city of Mazar-e Sharif because of the growing threat from the Taliban. First, they settled in the capital, Kabul. Alima, now 21 years old, recounts what life was like there.
I remember going to first grade for a few months, and then I couldn't go anywhere because the schools were bombed and there was no schools to go to, and then my mom wouldn't let me go because the Taliban would kidnap people and rape people, especially for me being a girl.
But when it became apparent that the situation was deteriorating, Alima's parents and their 8 children sought refuge in neighboring Pakistan.
When we moved to Kabul, I was just like from going from middle class to like almost homeless. We had no food, no electricity, no nothing. It was really hard. I thought that's like the worst it could get. And then we moved to Pakistan and we were just like actual homeless. We didn't have any food, no money.
With help from a resettlement program, Alima's family eventually came to the United States. They arrived just months before the September 11th terrorist attacks. Alima said it was difficult not knowing any English, and after September 11th, she felt discriminated against because she was Afghan. But despite these obstacles, she has adjusted to life in her adopted country. Today, she's in her 3rd year at the University of Washington, where she hopes to become a pharmacist. 32-year-old Joseph has a much different story. He grew up in South Sudan and at the age of 7 saw his family ripped apart during that country's long and bloody civil war. Joseph was separated from his mother and lived with soldiers from the Sudan People's Liberation Army, or SPLA.
Basically, SPLA was like my parent to me.
He spent his childhood on the front lines of battle and wandering among camps for the internally displaced. He had no education and survived at times on next to nothing.
I begin to survive by huntings, rats and bats, and that's the life that I have been living.
Joseph says he saw things no child should ever witness.
The thing that I have seen is killing of innocent people, which happened everywhere between the Sudan government and the SPLA.
Life began to improve for Joseph when he went to a UN-administered displaced persons camp. There, he became part of a resettlement program, and in July 2001, he came to the United States. He hopes to graduate from university next year with a degree in criminal justice. But life has not been easy. Joseph was briefly reunited with his father in 1989, but has not seen his mother or sisters for 25 years. After the Sudanese civil war ended in 2005, they were able to reestablish contact, but he lacks the resources to visit them and fears for the political situation since they are southerners living in the country's Arab north. The United Nations is working to improve the situation of children like Alima and Joseph who are displaced during armed conflicts with the introduction of rights and guarantees. The UN hopes these guidelines will be adopted by governments, humanitarian agencies, and other actors. Radhika Kumaraswamy is the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict. She says displaced children are some of the most invisible and vulnerable children in the world, and governments need to step up and take care of them.
What we see increasingly is whenever there is some kind of conflict or disaster, states seem to now abdicate and say the UN can handle that. And that should not be. States bear primary responsibility. The mark of sovereignty is that you will protect your civilians and that your citizens. So we want to say that they must take a much greater role. And we are there to support them, not to be the only actor.
The guidelines are basic. Children must have the same rights and freedoms as those not displaced. Their best interests must be a primary consideration. They are entitled to fundamental needs such as an adequate standard of living and the right to physical security and protection from such threats as sexual violence, trafficking, and forced prostitution. The UN is also pressing governments to keep displaced families together to make sure these children continue to receive an education and get psychosocial support if they need it. Now a father himself, Joseph says he will make sure his daughter never lives the life he did. He says he hopes her childhood will be much different and happier than the one that was stolen from him. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.